President Bush marked 6 months since the September 11th attacks on the Pentagon, the World Trade Center, and the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania. In a speech at the White House this morning, the president spoke of what the U.S.-led coalition has accomplished in Afghanistan so far.
For 5 months in Afghanistan, our coalition has been patient and relentless, and more patience and more courage will be required. We're fighting a fierce battle in the Shaikot Mountains, and we're winning. Yet it will not be the last battle in Afghanistan, and there will be other battles beyond that nation. For terrorists fleeing Afghanistan, for any terrorist looking for a base of operations, there must be no refuge, no safe haven. By driving terrorists from place to place, we disrupt the planning and training for further attacks on America and the civilized world. Every terrorist must be made to live as an international fugitive with no place to settle or organize, no place to hide, no governments to hide behind, and not even a safe place to sleep. I've set a clear policy in the second stage of the war on terror. America encourages and expects governments everywhere to help remove the terrorist parasites that threaten their own countries and peace of the world. If governments need training or resources to meet this commitment, America will help. We're helping right now in the Philippines, where terrorists with links to Al-Qaeda are trying to seize the southern part of the country to establish a militant regime. They're oppressing local peoples, and they've kidnapped both American and Filipino citizens. America sent more than 500 troops to train Philippine forces. We stand with President Arroyo, who is courageously opposing the threat of terror. In the Republic of Georgia, terrorists working closely with Al-Qaeda operate in the Pankisi Gorge near the Russian border. At President Shevardnadze's request, the United States is planning to send up to 150 military trainers to prepare Georgian soldiers to reestablish control in this lawless region. This temporary assistance serves the interests of both our countries. In Yemen, we are working to avert the possibility of another Afghanistan. Many Al-Qaeda recruits come from the near the Yemen-Saudi Arabian border. And Al-Qaeda may try to reconstitute itself in the remote corners of that region. President Saleh has assured me that he is committed to confronting this danger. We will help Yemeni forces with both training and equipment to prevent that land from becoming a haven for terrorists. In the current stage of the war, our coalition is opposing not a nation, but a network. Victory will come over time as that network is patiently and steadily dismantled. This will require international cooperation on a number of fronts, diplomatic, financial, and military. We will not send the American troops to every battle, but America will actively prepare other nations for the battles ahead. This mission will end when the work is finished, when terror networks of global reach have been defeated. The havens and training camps of terror are a threat to our lives and to our way of life, and they will be destroyed.
President Bush speaking at the White House this morning. NPR White House correspondent Don Gagne joins me now. Good morning, Don.
Good morning.
What else did the president have to say?
He spoke actually for less than 20 minutes, and this certainly was an event to mark the horrific events of 6 months ago. And in the audience, there were many family members of victims of the attacks. There were firefighters and police officers and emergency workers. Members of Congress were there and ambassadors from some 150 nations. But what the president did not do during this speech was spend a great deal of time mourning those lost. We have seen many speeches where he has done that over the past 6 months, one just this past Friday. But this one, as we just heard in that chunk of it, he talked of the challenges ahead, the progress made so far, and he spent a good deal of time looking ahead. The first applause line, and I should add, this was not the kind of speech that was geared toward getting big applause lines and cheers. But those assembled clapped when he noted that many Afghan girls would soon begin attending school for the first time in their lives because of the defeat of the Taliban. And he also stressed in very specific ways the contributions of many countries to the effort in Afghanistan and elsewhere, listing them. There have certainly been more U.S. deaths in Afghanistan, deaths of U.S. soldiers. But the president also mentioned by name an Australian soldier, for example, who died in fighting there, noting that this soldier left behind a wife and an 11-day-old daughter. So it was a speech about the work that is being done together with other nations and where it goes.
Did he say anything about where the war goes next?
Not in a great deal of specificity. His main point, though, is that it does not end in Afghanistan, and that any nation that harbors terrorists, this is language we've heard him use in the past, should be on guard. But he also, again, put out an offer to help any country that is trying to deal with terrorists within its borders, that the U.S. is ready and willing to step forward and to help them out. We heard him mention the Philippines and Georgia as examples.
Did the president say anything about weapons of mass destruction?
Yes, and that's also part of where this goes next. This passage of the speech really did renew, without naming names, those warnings to Iraq and North Korea and even Iran. Those are those three so-called axis of evil nations. The president didn't use that phrase. And again, he didn't mention these countries by name. But what he did say is that in dealing with the threat of weapons of mass destruction, countries that have them, countries that want them, it is possible that from these countries, terrorists could get their hands on these weapons. And that is unthinkable. So he said inaction is not an option. It is simply not an option. The other thing, Bob, his remarks were preceded by brief comments from three ambassadors selected from those in attendance. They were from Nigeria, from Turkey, and from South Korea, each seemingly strategically selected. Of course, Turkey and South Korea bordering North Korea and Iraq, two nations that he has, again, specifically warned in very stern language in the past.
NPR White House correspondent Don Gagne.